Let's move forward, inshallah. We're going to start the lesson. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم خلق الله السماوات والأرض بالحق إن في ذلك لآية للمؤمنين أتل ما أوحي إليك من الكتاب وأقم الصلاة إن الصلاة تنهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر ولذكر الله أكبر والله يعلم ما تصنعون ولا تجادلوا أهل الكتاب إلا بالتي هي أحسن إلا الذين ظلموا منهم فقولوا آمنا بالذي أنزل إلينا وأنزل إليكم وإلهنا وإلهكم واحد ونحن له مسلمون وكذلك أنزلنا إليك الكتاب فالذين آتيناهم الكتاب يؤمنون به ومن هؤلاء من يؤمن به وما يجحد بآياتنا إلا الكافرون وما كنت تتلو من قبله من كتاب ولا تخطه بيمينك إذا لارتاب المبطلون بل هو آيات بينات في صدور الذين أوتوا العلم وما يجحد بآياتنا إلا الظالمون We are going through Surah Al-Ankabut and we are starting from ayah number 44 today. Ayah number 44 of Surah Al-Ankabut. And in this section, inshallah, we have a few subjects that we are going to be discussing. Some of the issues related to Salat and the effects of Salat in a person's life. Secondly, some issues related to the people of the book and also issues related to objections that people have against the Prophet ﷺ. So, small section, but a lot of things to discuss. First and foremost, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, خَلَقَ اللَّهُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضَ بِالْحَقِّ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the skies and the earth with the truth. Or truthfully, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the skies and the earth. So here, it is the word khalaqa. Khalaqa means he created. And again, the root word is very easy. Kha, lam, and qaf. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who is doing that action. So therefore, Allah has dhamma, khalaqallahu. And as-samawati wal-arda, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created what? The skies and the earth. So they are in the situation of nasab. The nasab in as-samawat is with a kasra. And wal-arda, it is, of course, maftuh. It has a fatha on it because it is maful bihi. And bilhaq, ta harful jar, and alhaq, it means the truth. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the heavens and the earth with truth. Inna fi dhalika la ayatan lil mu'mineen. Indeed, in that, there is indeed a sign for the people of Iman. Indeed, inna, indeed, fi in dhalika, that. La ayah, lam here is for taqeed, and ayah, it means a sign. Indeed, in it, there is indeed a sign. Lil mu'mineen, lam is harful jar, for, lam, lil means for, mu'mineen, for the people of Iman. So, the translation of the whole ayah is, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the heavens and the earth with truth. Indeed, in it, there is a sign for the people of Iman. And here, again, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala presents us the whole creation of the heavens and the earth. And through the creations of the heavens and the earth, we are supposed to ponder into those things and through that understand the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this has been emphasized again and again in the Quran. And the whole thing is that if we try to understand Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we will never be able to understand Him. But if we look at His creation, and how everything has been created with such perfection, without any faults, and without any kind of deficiency, we will understand through that the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, I mean, look at the heavens, the earth, look at the skies, look at the sun, look at the moon, look at the stars. There's billions of stars, and they are billions of even light years away. Meaning, if you are traveling at the speed of light, it will take you a million years to get there. at the speed of light, which is, what, 186,000 miles per second or something like that, if you're traveling at that speed, it will still take you many, many years to get there. That's how great this universe and the solar system and all of the other solar systems and the galaxies are. So if this huge solar system is so great, how about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? How great would He be who created these things? And He created them with such perfection. Just look at our solar system, that, you know, the gravity of all of the planets holds each planet in place. If the gravity of the sun increased a little bit, it would suck up all the planets. If the gravity of the earth increased a little bit, it would suck up other planets around it, and there would be meteorite explosions and everything all through the earth. So everything is done with such perfection, and we cannot find any kind of deficiency in the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the beginning of Surah Al-Mulk, He emphasizes the same thing, that فَرْجِعِ الْبَصَرِ هَلْ تَرَى مِنْ فُطُورِ. Again and again, Allah says, go and look again. And again, irji' al-basar means repeat your investigation, you will find that there is no futur in the creation in the skies. ثُمَّ ارْجِعِ الْبَصَرَ كَرَّتَيْنِ يَنْقَلِبْ إِلَيْكَ الْبَصَرُ خَاسِيًا وَحَسِيرٌ. Again, He challenges that repeat again and again and again, your eyes will come back and you will have been defeated. You will not find any deficiency in the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The only deficiency that is taking place in the earth nowadays, it is man-made because of the excesses that we've had and the excesses of the use of the natural resources that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us. Because we use them too much, that's why we are having all of these problems with global warming and so on and so forth. But initially, in the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there is no fault. So this is another one of those verses where Allah is telling us to ponder into the heavens and the earth, and in that is the sign for the people of Iman. After that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Utlu ma uhiya ilayka min al-kitabi wa aqimi salah." The word utlu, it is the command from the word tilawah. Tilawah means, of course, to recite the Quran, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is being commanded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, utlu, recite. Ma uhiya ilayka, what has been revealed to you. Min al-kitabi, from the book, meaning from the Quran. Okay, so what is this? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is commanding the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam to read the book to the people who are writing it down and memorizing it as it was revealed to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. So it is a command from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So utlu, like I said, it is a command from the word tilawa. The root word is ta, lam, and waw. Ma is what. Ma is here mausula, and it means what. So read what uhiya has been revealed. It is from the word wahi. Wahi is the root word. And uhiya means it was revealed. So read what was revealed ilayka to you. Ilaka. When combined, it becomes ilayka, to you. Min al-kitab, min means from, al-kitab, from the book. So read what has been revealed to you from the book, wa aqim as-salah, and establish the salah. The word aqim, it is a command from the word iqamah, and it means, and the root word is qaf, waw, and mim, and it means to establish, to maintain, and so on and so forth. There are many, many meanings of iqama. And as-salata, establish the salat. And the actual meaning of salat, it is prayer. Dua as meaning invocation. It means dua. But it was because of the constant use of the salat, for the salat as we know it today, that is what is meant. But the original linguistic meaning of salat is to make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the root word of salat is sad, lam, and waw. Sad, lam, and waw. So the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam is being commanded to first and foremost recite the Quran to the people, and the second thing, to establish the salat. Okay, both important things. And when the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam is commanded with something, it means we are automatically commanded with the same thing. We are also told to read the Quran and establish the salat. And why particularly the salat? Inna salata tanha anil fahsha'i wal munkar. Indeed, the salat prevents people from al fahsha, meaning evil, wal munkar, and sins. Okay, so this is the reason for it. The salat is the thing that is supposed to prevent us from evil and committing sins. So if a person is finding himself that he is committing sins, then he needs to look at his salat. If he is doing his salat, then there has to be some deficiency in that salat. He is not concentrating on the salat. He is not praying the salat properly. Or he may be rushing the salat. He may be just going through the motions and not paying attention to the salat. So, inna salata, indeed the salat prevents from evil and munkar. Inna, it means indeed, as-salat, the salat. Tanha, forbids. The root word is noon, ha, and ya. And tanha, it means forbids. An, from, al-fahsha, from evil. The root word is fa, ha, and sheen. And munkar, the root word is noon, kaf, and ra. It means evil. Okay, so indeed the salat prevents from evil and sins. There are a few hadith regarding this. It is reported, the Prophet ﷺ was asked about this saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, إِنَّ الصَّلَاةَ تَنْهَى عَنِ الْفَحْشَاءِ وَالْمُنْكَرِ قَالْ مَنْ لَمْ تَنْهَهُ صَلَاتُهُ عَنِ الْفَحْشَاءِ وَالْمُنْكَرِ فَلَا صَلَاةَ لَهُ. That person whose salat does not prevent him from fahsha and munkar, meaning all kinds of evils and sins, then he has no salat. Meaning he is doing something wrong in his salat. There is some deficiency in his salat that is preventing him from staying away from evil and committing sins. So we have to really ponder into these things. There is another riwayah which is very important that we'll come across. The things that we have to have in salat to make it a complete salat. But before that, Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu also narrates that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Man lam tanhahu salatu 'an al-fahsha'i wal-munkar lam yazdad biha min Allah illa bu'da." This is another very eye-opening hadith. Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu said that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that whoever salat does not prevent him from evil and sin, then that salat is taking him away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That salat is making him further away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala instead of getting him closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So again, that means that there is some deficiency in the salat. That's why it's making him further away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There's another riwayah that a person said to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, "Inna fulanan yusalli bil-layl fa-idha asbaha sarq." There's a person who prays at night, but then in the morning he steals. قال إنه سينهاه ما تقول. That there will come a time where his salat will prevent him from what you're saying. Okay, so there will come a time if he works on his salat and he perfects his salat, then there will come a time when that salat will prevent him from that evil and the things that he's doing. After that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَا ذِكْرُ اللَّهِ أَكْبَرُ. Okay, indeed, the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the greatest. And this has a lot of meanings in it. And again, the beauty of the Quran is such that, you know, it has very simple sentences, but those sentences can hold so much meaning. Okay, so here, وَلَا ذِكْرُ اللَّهِ أَكْبَرُ. And indeed, the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the greatest. It can have, the first meaning it can have is, yes, you're praying your salat, and you are going through the motions, but the main focus of the salat is not to go through the motions. The main focus of the salat is the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You have to have the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in your salat and outside of the salat. And that will result in you not committing sins. Because when you remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when you're about to commit a sin, then you're going to know that Allah is watching you. And therefore, I cannot commit a sin because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching me. So, وَلَا ذِكْرُ اللَّهِ أَكْبَرُ. The dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the greatest. That means that, you know, the purpose of the salat is not going through the motions, But the purpose of the salat is in salat and outside of salat, having the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Just like in salat, a person does not make any movements, okay? He stands, he has his head down, he doesn't look right or left, he doesn't scratch his head and he doesn't make any fidgety movements. Similarly, you know, he controls himself outside of salat. So the way we control ourselves in salat, and we don't do anything to displease Allah in salat, we're supposed to have that same kind of awareness outside of salat, as if we are praying salat all the time. So this is one meaning of وَلَا ذِكْرُ اللَّهِ أَكْبَرُ. Indeed, the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the greatest. Okay, so there's other things which are mentioned here. Abu al-Aliya says that إِنَّ الصَّلَاةَ فِيهَا ثَلَاثَ خِصَالٍ. The salat is something that it's supposed to have three khisal, three khaslas, three qualities in it. Okay. فَكُلُّ صَلَاتٍ لَا يَكُونُ فِيهَا شَيْءٌ مِنْ هَذِي الْخِلَالِ فَلَيْسَتْ بِصَلَاةٍ. And that salat which does not have these qualities, that is not a salat indeed. That is not a salat. Okay. What are those things? First and foremost, al-ikhlas. Sincerity has to be there. You're doing it for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَالْخَشْيَةِ. Khashiyah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, meaning the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the third thing, the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay, so if those three things are not present in the salat, and we all need to think about ourselves and our salat, myself included. Okay, what is my salat like? From beginning to end, how much of ikhlas is there? How much of khashiyah, the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is there? And how much remembrance, how much do we actually think about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala while we're praying? You know, it's mentioned about the greatest Sahaba, Ali radiallahu anhu, for example, when he used to hear the adhan, you know, he used to become pale and start trembling. You know, it's just an amazing quality that they had about the salat, that they're thinking that they're about to go in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala right now. And they become pale and start trembling. You know, just like we have, for example, we are, you know, somebody calls us from the FBI. How upset we're going to be. You know, all night we're thinking about it. Oh, we've got an appointment in the morning with the FBI. We've got to see them. What are they calling me for? What is the reason? We're not going to be able to sleep all night. But five times a day, we stand in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and it's just like, you know, whatever. You know, it's just going through the motions. There's no fear. There's no khashiyah. There is no khushu. There is no concentration. So what kind of a salat is that? That salat which does not have these qualities in it, can we even call it a salat? And of course, I do include myself in that. I'm not pointing at anybody else. I'm pointing at myself first. So he goes on to say, فَالْإِخْلَاصُ يَأْمُرُهُ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ. Ikhlas, the sincerity, will order him to do good. وَالْخَشْيَةَ تَنْهَاهُ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ. And the khashiyah, the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, will forbid him from evil. وَذِكْرُ اللَّهِ, meaning Al-Qur'an, يَأْمُرُهُ وَيَنْهَاهُ, meaning the Qur'an that he recites, and here وَلَذِكْرُ اللَّهِ أَكْبَرُ can also mean that, the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that takes place, meaning the recitation of the Qur'an, will order him and forbid him, meaning it will order him to do good, if he's pondering over what he's reading, it will order him to do good, and it will also forbid him from evil. And there's another meaning of وَلَا ذِكْرُ اللَّهِ أَكْبَرُ. And this goes back to, again, this is why grammar is so important in Arabic. It goes back to, if you understand what إِضَافَة is about. إِضَافَة means possession. And the actual meaning, the wording is وَلَا ذِكْرُ اللَّهِ أَكْبَرُ. And indeed, the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the greatest. Okay? If I go through the wording, lam, waw is and, lam is for taqeed. Dhikrullah, mudaf and mudaf ilayh. Meaning there is an idafa there. And it means the remembrance of Allah. The remembrance of Allah. So it can either mean we remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or it can also mean Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala remembering us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala remembering us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, after we pray salat to Him, He pays attention to that salat, and He answers our call, and He pays attention to us. This is another meaning of that idafa. Okay? So dhikrullah can either mean we remembering Allah in the salat, or it can also mean Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala remembering us, and that is the greatest thing. that how if we perfect our salah to such a degree that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala starts paying attention to us and our du'as, this is the greatest thing. How great is that? Okay, there's nothing greater than that. So Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, he says about this, وَلَا ذِكْرُ اللَّهِ أَكْبَرُ. He said, وَلَا ذِكْرُ اللَّهِ لِعِبَادِهِ أَكْبَرُ إِذَا ذَكَرُوهُ مِنْ ذِكْرِهِمْ إِيَّاهُ. Okay, that means that indeed the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala of His slaves, of His servants, is greater when they remember Him from their remembering Him, from their remembrance of Him. Okay, so basically there is some, it's a summary of what I just said. And there's another riwayah from Abdullah ibn Rabi'ah who also asked Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, what does it mean, وَلَا ذِكْرُ اللَّهِ أَكْبَرُ, and Ibn Abbas responded that it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala remembering His slave. So, وَلَا ذِكْرُ اللَّهِ أَكْبَرُ, and indeed the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the greatest. The wording is dhikrullah, remembrance of Allah. Dhikr, the root word is of course dha, kaf and ra. And akbar, the root word is kaf, ba and ra. So the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is greatest. Wallahu ya'lamu ma tasna'un. Indeed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows what you are doing. Wallahu, and Allah, ya'lamu, He knows, the root word is ayn, lam and meem. He knows ma, what, tasna'un, what you are doing. And the root word is sad, noon, and ayn. Wallahu ya'lamu ma tasna'un. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows what you are doing. That means in and out of salat, in all our lives, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows what we are doing. So we have to be obedient to Him in our salat, out of our salat, and that kind of a salat is the thing that will prevent us from evil and committing sins. Now the subject changed a little bit after that. Allah says, وَلَا تُجَادِلُوا أَهْلَ الْكِتَابِ إِلَّا بِالَّتِي هِيَ أَحْسَنُ. And do not fight the people of the book except in a way that it is the best. Okay, so what does this actually mean? Some scholars say that this ayah was mansukh. It was cancelled out with the ayah of saif, meaning the ayah of fighting. But the majority of scholars say this is not the case. This ayah applies at all times. To talk to the people of the book in such a way to make them understand that our religion of Islam is not something that is something that came out of nowhere, but it has a background in their, from the teachings of their prophets also. All of the prophets taught the same message. They taught Islam. They taught obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They taught submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Islam is basically the final step or the final message sent by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from the messages from the, and it's basically the same message that was sent by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through all of the prophets, including Musa alayhi salam and Isa alayhi salam. So we are supposed to argue with the people of the book in a way that is good. And this has been mentioned in other places of the Quran, in Surah Ali Imran also. It talks about the common theme that is between us, the common understandings that are between us. Talk about the common ground that is between us, and the differences afterwards, a person when he researches Islam and talks about Islam, they will come to an understanding. And you will find that the majority of the people, they are so ignorant about Islam. The majority of the people, the Christians, they think that Islam is a type of a cult, which has nothing to do with their religion and their teachings and so on. And it is important for us to get rid of that kind of misunderstanding. I just flew to California the other day, and next to me, you know, by pure chance, a Korean priest, sat down with me, and he talked to me at great length. About a couple of hours, we talked about religion and talked about the Bible and the Quran and what we believe and so on. And ultimately, at the end, he requested me to send a Quran to him in Korean. So if anybody can get a Quran in Korean, I would appreciate it. I got a link for him from a website with the Quran in Korean, in the Korean language, but he again requested me a hard copy. So if anybody can get something like that, I would really appreciate it to send to him. So it is important to us, for us, to make sure we talk about the common themes that are between us. So this is what this ayah is saying. وَلَا تُجَادِلُوا أَهْلَ الْكِتَابِ إِلَّا بِالَّتِهِ أَحْسَنٍ. Don't argue with the people of the book except with that that is the best. So the wording is wa and la tujadilu, don't fight. The root word is jadal, jim, dal and lam, and in Urdu we use the word to jang wa jadal. Okay, so this is a commonly used word. Jadal means to fight. Okay, and here it is in mufa'ala jidal wa la tujadilu, so don't fight ahl al kitab, the people of the book, illa, except billati, except with that. Billa, ba is with, allati, that, hiya ahsan, that is the best. And ahsan, it is ismu tafdhil, and it means the best thing. Illa alladhina zalamu minhum. Of course, there is an exception to the rule. Except those people that do dhulm from amongst them. If they are being oppressive, if they are fighting, and if they are arguing with you, then of course you have to respond in a way which is appropriate. Okay, if somebody fights you and wants to kill you, then you have no choice but to fight back. So, إِلَّا الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا مِنْهُمْ, except those people that do dhulm and oppression from among them. Okay, so إِلَّا, except الَّذِينَ, those ظَلَمُوا, that did dhulm. ظَلَمُوا means they did dhulm, they did oppression, they did wrong. مِنْهُمْ, from them. And ظَلَمُوا, the root word is ظَا, لَام and ميم. وَقُولُوا, and say. This is a command from the word قَوْل, and it's plural. If you talk to one person, you say قُل. But if you are talking to everybody, a lot of people, you say قُولُوا, say. Say to them, everybody, you say to them, آمَنَّا بِالَّذِي أُنزِلَ إِلَيْنَا وَأُنزِلَ إِلَيْكُمْ وَإِلَهُنَا وَإِلَهُكُمْ وَاحِدٌ وَنَحْنُ لَهُ مُسْلِمُونَ. Okay, and say to them, we have iman in that which was revealed to us and what was revealed to you, and our God and your God is one. وَنَحْنُ لَهُ مُسْلِمُونَ, and we submit to him, we are Muslims to him, we submit ourselves to him. So وَقُولُوا آمَنَّا, and say to them, آمَنَّا, we have iman, or we believed. And it's the root word is iman, and actually the root word is alif, mim, and noon, or hamza, mim, and noon. And if taken into bab if'al, it means we have iman, we have faith. Billadhi, in that, unzila, was revealed. Ilayna, to us, wa unzila, and that was revealed to you, ilaykum. Wa ilahuna, and our God. The word is ilah, and ilahuna means our God. Wa ilahukum, and your God, wahidun, they are one. Wa and nahnu, we, lahu, to him, muslimun, submit. So we submit to him. So again, this is again striking on the common theme which is between all of us. Our God, your God is the same. It's just a difference of language. Allah is an actual Arabic word for God. And even Arab Christians use the same word, Allah, in their Bible. There are Arab Christians. Many people don't even realize that there are Arab Christians. But there are Arab Christians, and in their Bible, the word Allah is used. Just like in different languages, in French, for example, you use the word Dieu for God, and in German, you use the word Gott for God, and in Farsi, you use the word Khuda. Okay, similarly, we have the Allah is the Arabic word for God. And the language that Jesus spoke, Aramaic, the word is very, very similar. Allah is used in the original language that Jesus spoke. And even Christians are not aware of this. Okay, and there are people from amongst them who want to cause trouble and misinform people about Islam. They say stuff like Allah is a moon god. Na'udhu billah. Okay? Allah from the word Allat, which is a different root word completely. Okay? They say that the pagans used to worship a moon god, which was Allat, which is true. And they say Allah is exactly the same. This is what the Muslims worship. And that's why the Muslims have the crescent, the moon, on the top of their minarets, because they worship a moon god. Okay? So this misinformation is rife amongst the Christians, particularly the evangelical Christians. So, to set the record straight, it's important that we get our facts right and inform them what is the truth. And the common theme is, we believe in the same God that sent Jesus, we believe in the same God that sent Moses, and we believe in the books that were revealed to each other, the original books, of course. We believe in the original Injil, we believe in the original Torah, not the current one which has been changed and chopped. Okay. Also, again, not to offend them, they will say, well, if you do not, if you believe in the Injil and the Torah, then you have to believe in Christianity and Judaism. Well, the ruling is that we are informed, we are ordered by the Prophet ﷺ, that do not deny and do not admit to the believing in what the Jews and the Christians tell you. Okay, if you deny something from the Injil and the Torah, then you may be denying something that was in the original scripture that was sent to Isa alayhi salam and Musa alayhi salam. And if you believe something, then you might be believing in something which was put in by people afterwards. So basically, you stay silent about it. Okay, unless the thing that you read is supported by the Quran and it is in agreement with the Quran, then you can say that maybe this is from the original scripture. And if it's in complete contrast to the Quran, if the Quran says black and that verse from the Injil and the Torah says white, then we have to take what the Quran says. And the Quran is the measuring stick with which we guard and we gauge the accuracy of the previous scriptures. But it's important to make sure that we work on the common ground which is between us, and this is what this verse says. Again, the translation, وَقُولُوا and say, آمَنَّا بِالَّذِي أُنزِلَ إِلَيْنَا. We have iman on what was revealed to us and what was revealed to you, and our God and your God is one, وَنَحْنُ لَهُ مُسْلِمُونَ, and to him we submit. Couple more verses, but I'm going to stop there. It's because it's quite a lengthy explanation. Inshallah, we'll continue next week. I pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us tawfiq to understand what has been said and heard.